Chapter 48, Takata Jim. It was impossible to rest. Takata Jim envied humans the total unconsciousness they called sleep. When a man lay down for the night, his awareness of the world disappeared, and the nerves to his muscles deactivated. If he did dream, he usually didn't have to participate physically. Even a neo-dolphin couldn't just turn himself off that way. One or the other hemisphere of the brain was always on sentry duty to control his breathing. Sleep for a fin was both a milder and a far more serious thing. He knocked about the captain's stateroom, wishing he could go back to his own smaller cabin. But symbolism was important to the crew he had inherited. His followers needed more than the logic of legality to confirm his command. They needed to see him as the new bull, and that meant living in the style of the former herd leader. He took a long breath at the surface and emitted clicks to illuminate the room in sound images. Kredeki certainly had eclectic tastes. Ifni knew what sorts of things the former captain had owned which couldn't stand wetness and had therefore been stowed away before Streaker landed on Kithrup. The collection that remained was striking. Works by artists of a dozen sentient races lay sealed behind glass cases, soundstroke photos of strange worlds and weird, aberrant stars adorned the walls. Kredeki's music system was impressive. He had recordings by the thousands, songs and eerie things that made Takata Jim's spine crawl when he played them. The collection of whale ballads was valuable, and a large fraction appeared to have been collected personally. By the desk comm, there was a photo of Kredeki with the officers of the James Cook. Captain Helene Alvarez herself had signed it. The famous explorer had her arm over her dolphin exec's broad, smooth back as she and Kredeki mugged for the camera. Takata Jim had served on important ships, cargo vessels supplying the Atlast and Calafia colonies, but he had never been on missions like those of the legendary Cook. He had never seen such sights nor heard such sounds. Until the shallow cluster, until they found dead ships the size of moons. He thrashed his tail in frustration. His flukes struck the ceiling painfully. His breath became heavy. It didn't matter. Nothing that he had done would matter if he succeeded. If he got Streaker away from Kithrup with her crew alive. If he did that, he would have a photo of his own, and the arm on his back would be that of the President of the Confederacy of Earth. A shimmering collection of tiny motes began to collect to his right. The sparkles coalesced into a holographic image a few inches from his eye. "Yes, what is it?" he snapped. An agitated dolphin, harness arms flexing and unflexing, nodded nervously. It was the ship's purser, Supe. "Sir, something strange has happened. We weren't sure we should wake you, but..." Takata Jim found the Finn's underwater anglic almost indecipherable. Supe's upper register warbled uncontrollably. "Come down and talk slowly," he commanded sharply. The Finn flinched, but made an effort to obey. I was in the outlock. I heard someone say there was an alert. Huerka Pete sent Heoki and Moki after sled sounds. Why wasn't I informed?" Supe recoiled in dismay. For a moment he appeared too frightened to speak. Takata Jim sighed and kept his voice calm. "Never mind. Not your fault. Go on." Visibly relieved, Supe continued. A few minutes later, the light on the personnel outlock came on. Watasetti went over, and I paid no heed. But when life cleaner and wormhole pilot entered..." Takata Jim spumed. Only dire need to hear Supe's story without delay prevented him from crashing about the room in frustration. "Tried to stop them, as you ordered, but Watasetti and Hiska
were doing backflips of joy, and dashed about fetching for them both.
"Where are they now?" Takata Jim demanded.
"Baskin entered the main bay with Watasetti. Hiska is off, spreading rumors throughout the ship. Kipiru took a sled and breathers and is gone."
"Gone where?"
"Back out," Supa wailed.
His command of Anglic was rapidly dissolving. Takata Jim took advantage of what composure the purser had left. "Have Huerka Pete awaken Dr. Metz. Have Metz meet me at sick bay with 3 guards. You are to go to the dry wheel dressing room with Sawtoot, and let no one enter. Understand?" Supa nodded vigorously, and his image vanished. Takata Jim prayed that Huerka Pete would have the sense to recall Moki and Heoki and send them after Kipiru. Together, between Heoki's brains and Moki's feral ruthlessness, they might be able to cut the pilot off before he reached the Thenanin wreck. "Why isn't Kathar Jan back yet? I chose him to go after that Midi in order to get him out of the ship for a while. I was afraid he was becoming dangerous, even to me. I wanted some time to organize without him around, but now the Baskin woman's returned sooner than I expected. Maybe I should have kept Kathar Jan around. The giant's talents might be useful about now." Takata Jim whistled the door open and swam out into the hall. He faced a confrontation he had hoped to put off for at least another 40 hours, if not indefinitely. Should I have seen Tukredeki before this? It would have been easy. A power failure in his gravity tank, a switched catheter. Metz would not approve, but there was already much of what Metz did not know. Much that Takata Jim wished he didn't know. He swam hard for the intra-hull lift. "Maybe I won't need Kathar Jan in order to deal with Gillian Baskin," he thought. "After all, what can one human female do?"